Okay. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah wa bihi nasta'in. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyihi al-amin. Amma ba'd. Thank you very much, Mr. MC, a moderator of the session, Dr. Nuri, my fellow panelists, distinguished scholars, speakers, learned audience, not to mention my great guru and mentor, Professor Dr. Khalid Masood. When I was young, doing my PhD, I have referred to most, if not all, of his book and article on Islamic jurisprudence. So thank you, Prof, to be with us, and I welcome all the colleagues and friends to Malaysia, and particularly to this conference. We are happy to be part of the conference by becoming a small contributor in helping the running of this conference. Alhamdulillah, we are gathered today to discuss many things. I have managed to flip through the booklet of the program. It speaks volumes of ideas, perspective, insights, issues which are facing the contemporary Islamic world and the world at large. So in this session, in the next 15-20 minutes, I have been asked to speak on how the infusion of Sharia compliant products in modern Islamic economic landscape, if that is the meaning of the title given to me. This is my understanding of the theme or the title that I'm supposed to comment and deliberate on. That topic very much of high level perspective. I don't have much time to go into detail, but let me share with you impromptu what I have seen the two industry, the industry of financial products and the Islamic economics on the other side of the coin. And not many speakers and conferences, seminar have been trying to create the bridge between the two system or scheme and the system, because Islamic economics is a larger kind of blueprint, grand design of Islamic perspective. Even though I have a small note on that, until today, from my perspective, the Muslim economics and the Muslim scholars have not been able to put a very clear-cut definition of Islamic economics. And for that matter, perhaps Dr. Nuri can comment a bit later. How do we perceive and push the economic theory of Islam to a next level, as we have seen in the many school of thought in the Western world, many school of economics that govern the critical and the salient features of moving the wealth of the society from land, labor, capital, and on the way to inflation, cost of funding, employment, the well-being of the society, and all of them are interrelated. So we are still looking for a very insightful, clinical, and functional theory or definition of Islamic economics. So I will leave it that at the moment, I'm not an Islamic economist. I'm just a practitioner of Islamic finance in the last how many years? 25 years. Now I'm moving to real economy, doing so many things, try to infuse Sharia principle in real economics, in vaccine development for ruminant, aqua industry, food security, creating the genetic engineering to create a better genome for our plantation, a better feed for our fish, aqua, cows, animal. This is the challenge of the society, because the planet has become hotter, the water has become more scarce, and the population has increased. So this is the real challenges of our economy. Be it Islamic or conventional, we cannot run away from these challenges, the food security. In my recent book on Maqasid al-Sharia, which I have published last year, about 500 pages, I have elaborated that we cannot be depending on the five Maqasid al-Sharia alone. In fact, if we are to subscribe to that idea that Maqasid al-Sharia, the high objective of the Sharia must be limited to five, that will make Islam very naive religion, cannot compete with the high frequency of many other themes of the world at the moment, from climate changes, from the employment, equality, science and technology, the protection of women, where the Quran purposely mentioned in the Quran that women should be protected above any other sex because they are prone, they are vulnerable to many oppression and biasness. And the Quran, in my book, I've curated and collected all the evidences to say the womanhood or An-Nisa is one of Maqasid al-Sharia among 30 Maqasid altogether. So coming back to the issue of Islamic economics, this is what I'm trying to do on the other side of my practice on Islamic finance as a Sharia advisor for many, many boards of the world. How do Sharia compliant products suit the current economic challenges of the world? Of course, the first thing is to provide what is halal. You cannot take riba, you cannot give riba or interest. You have to find the solution. وَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Indeed, Allah has made trading permissible and riba impermissible. So we have to find solution. And that's why my career started in 1993. Then to be a Sharia scholar, thinking creatively how to create new products, how to move away from lending-based transaction into trading-based transaction, al-baya. Then we have developed murabaha, ijara, and what have you, and from there we can go for musharaka and mudaraba, and a hybrid of equity and debt as we speak. So this is what I have done in the past. So yes, we have developed the framework of halal in the industry. That is something then bring the society away from the prohibition of three things: prohibition of riba or interest, prohibition of gharar, uncertainty and excessive speculation, and improper disclosure of material facts come under gharar, as you already know, an Arabic term, al-gharar, or al-jahala, ignorant. And the third is gambling, the maisir, be it classical gambling or the modern gambling of many financial products of the world. This is the framework of halal. Then we come to the framework of what is next. So in that case, we are reminded by the Quranic verse saying that you have to promote halalan tayyiba, halal which is of good conduct, good practice, good standard. Of course, the scholars have not interpreted under one voice the meaning of tayyib. In fact, tayyib is a very strong word in the Quran. It comes two times to reflect the attribute of something good. Halalan tayyiba and baldatun tayyibatun, a nation, a country which is of good conduct. In fact, in these two Quranic verses, it makes reference to a quality, attribute which is good. Of course, in our Malay society in Malaysia, we make it very light interpretation, we make it very underrated interpretation, something which is good, something which is pure. The purity comes in many conferences and seminars, halal, which is furthermore pure, which is not necessarily correct, because tayyib, from the epistemological point of view, from the lexicon point of view, from the Arabic words, it has many meanings altogether that can attach to a tayyib. And it is not confined to one meaning at one generation. It evolved from one generation to another. What is tayyib in the past will not be no longer tayyib in the current time, and vice versa. So along that point, I wanted to bring in the economic framework to make Sharia finance, Islamic banking finance, more governed, inspired, motivated by a higher degree of compliance, social compliance. And in this case, the debate is still going on whether our Islamic banking finance is halal while not being able to serve the community. We have Islamic banking of the world, but we have still the poverty, the level of, level of uneducated in our society is still large. We have many segments unbankable in the society, and so on and so forth. I have my comment on that. This has been a great debate in many conferences in the world, in the East and the West. It's that banking and finance has failed to do their job because they cannot resolve the problem of, among others, poverty, climate changes, and so on. The list continues. For me, it is unfair comment, because the fight for the well-being of the society shouldn't be left out to one segment of the society, finance. Because finance, as you know, taking deposit and giving financing to the customer. This is the very definition of a bank. The bank cannot do more than that. In fact, on the other side of the coin, among the scholars, I'm one of them, we have put emphasis very much on zakat and waqaf to resolve the society problem. It become overrated and overburdened. As you know, when we make something overburdened, it cannot reach the destination. لا أرضا قطعت ولا سفرا ولا ظهرا أبقى. The metaphor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam: if you put load on the camel too heavy, the camel will break and the camel will not reach the destination. Correct me, I'm wrong in that Arabic metaphor. So we have to be proportionate to our understanding and functionality of each segment in the society. And this is a good debate, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have any solid answer to that. I'm here to raise more issue than the solution to this issue. So moving away from halal to tayyib, we have to define a new framework of tayyib. Perhaps tayyib can take care of Islam economic perspective, because tayyib is a Quranic term. It can address so many things. So from there, we can talk about, you know, the percentage of financing in our banking in Malaysia and worldwide. As you know, in Malaysia, 70% of the banking assets are very much confined to easy banking products: mortgage, personal financing, and higher purchase or car financing, where the bank would take less risk. If you default, the bank can take the mortgage and can do whatever. The rest of the economic activities are not being touched by the bank. 30%. You can refer to any bank's asset in Malaysia. You can see clearly 70% are located in mortgages, higher purchases, and personal loan or financing. In some state, let's say in Pakistan, your permission prof, I have seen their balance sheet. Most of the deposit taken by the bank, almost 60-70%, go to the central bank deposit treasury products. So the money has not been mobilized immediately, effectively to the society. So there are many phenomena I can pick up from here and there to show that how could we move on from halal into tayyib. A tayyib could be a standard, could be a ratio, a percentage, could be a proportionality, a treatment of the society, and to, you know, to make it more fair and just to the society. One of my company, we are doing remittance using the mobile apps, moving using the high tech or fintech in particular. We started in Indonesia 2014 because we observe Indonesians are being deprived from banking services because they are not bankable, they don't have any account. But by having the mobile account, they call virtual account, they can connect to the bank, and next day they can receive the money and send the money through the remittance using this technology. My last comment, Brother Ali, before I stop, having you know, ventured into this journey from a Sharia school, I was a lecturer before, and becoming Sharia advisor, then becoming entrepreneur on my own in few startup companies in fintechs, remittance, food security, and whatnot. I would like to suggest one thing that, you know, many things we do and we lecture, and we comment in many conferences and seminars. I think what is lacking in our society is the ability to apprehend, appraise, and give the meaning to the data of the society. We talk about data a lot, but we are not able to give the right meaning to the collection of the data in the society. Traffic control, the weather control, the water supply, the cost of living, everything that we talk, the right of women, the right of children, the right to education, the poverty, the equality, we are still moving in the sphere of human understanding, which could be biased. Normally, all the time, it has been so biased, as well as we are exhausted all the time. When we're exhausted, our findings started to depart from the right track. So perhaps I wanted to appeal to everyone in financial economics, in your own respective legal practice, we need to go back and try to understand the data of the day. And I am reminded by one Quranic verse in the Quran, Wa'mur bil urfi, the Prophet was asked to command something which is acceptable to the society. The great scholar in the Hanafi school of thought, Al-Jassas, Abu Bakr Al-Jassas, in his Ahkamul Quran commented, Al-Urf refers to what is prevalent, what is accepted, what is dominant in the society. What is dominant in our society nowadays is the data of life. I think thank you for that understanding and listening. I hope you have a very good session in this conference. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.